Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:11 p.m. and that is London summertime, excuse me, standard time, and today is November 16th. Well, there were two, I think, rather important events in here today. The first is that the House of Representatives in the USA passed the first leg, at least, of their tax reform bill, and Wall Street has responded with a pretty robust rebound, and the Nasdaq 100 very briefly moved to a new all-time high. And when we look at it over the last year, just on a daily chart, we can see that it has been really quite consistent, that the progression of high reaction lows is very much intact, and that as long as that remains the case, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The last two mini reactions have been relatively small, and despite the fact that there is a somewhat overbought condition relative to the trend mean, this remains a largely benign environment overall, and as really a sustained move below that mean would be required to really question the consistency of the advance. I think some people will be thinking that when we look at that weekly chart, that the moving average was an area of support on a number of occasions between about 2013 and 2016, well, 2015, but then, because the pace of the advance has picked up, that perhaps a shorter-term moving average might be appropriate, and that would obviously be someone's individual decision. But the most important thing, I think, is the progression of higher reaction lows, and the fact that you were getting these smaller reactions. What does that tell us in terms of supply and demand? This is something that we talked about at length at the chart seminar today. It was that what that tells us is that the imbalance between supply and demand is getting progressively wider. And that's what we anticipate from a bull market. A bull market should become, the trend should become progressively more consistent as more people are sucked in. Something that I pay particular attention to at the chart seminar is the examples that people ask for, because it is usually a reflection either of what people already own or what they're particularly interested in or what has done particularly well. And it was interesting that the majority of examples that people asked for today were from the technology sector, and that's a testament to just how well it has done. So I think that is worth considering, that we are most certainly in a rollicking bull market that is attracting investors from all over the world, and there is no sign yet that it is over. Now, the other big piece of news today was in Japan, because what we're seeing increasingly, and I've been reading a number of reports, and it seems to me at least that the number of international investors that are beginning to pay attention to Japan is increasing. We've had a more than 1,000-point pullback, and today represented an upside key day reversal. So I've been waiting to buy the pullback. I was rather hoping that it would pull back by more, but it hasn't done so. And today's upside key reversal, to me at least, suggests that we have at least a low of near-term significance. So I reinitiated my long position, and I closed out the short for in the Dow Jones for a small loss. And the Nikkei position is up enough right now to more than compensate for the loss that I took on the Dow Jones, which has been largely range bound for most of the last month. And again, this has been a relatively inert environment, and the amplitude of the ranges has been really quite shallow. When we look at the VIX index, which has been plumbing new depths over much of the last few months, it has pulled back rather sharply from the high that we saw yesterday. And I think that this is important, that it wasn't quite able to hold the low all the way through the session, but it was down over a full point. I think that when we look at the VIX and the fact that it has been so inactive over the last few months, we have to consider that that is increasing its susceptibility to influence from really quite small moves in the market. And when we look at the MOVE index, which is the Merrill Lynch option volatility on treasuries, then we see a similar story that we have volatility that is at historic lows, and that is being fed by risk parity strategies. But at least the MOVE index, having hit a new low earlier this week, has steadied somewhat, but there is no evidence yet that volatility is about to pick up. And the other important chart that has moved significantly over the last couple of sessions is the yield curve spread. It's down to 66 basis points, and it was close to 80 just at the end of last week. So we've had an additional decline here. And when we look at the 2-year bond, then we can see why this has pulled back, or that spread has contracted so aggressively just over the last couple of sessions, because 2-year yields are breaking out and extending this advance. When we look at that on a weekly chart, I think it is very clear that this represents a bull market, and the trajectory of the advance is picking up. So bond investors are beginning to price in the potential that we are in fact going to have another interest rate hike this year, and that the Federal Reserve may in fact raise rates again next year. And if we see that yield curve spread become inverted, there's almost certainly going to be a big debate in the market as to whether it is going to represent a reliable lead indicator for a recession on this occasion, because we have had such profound monetary stimulus and intervention over the last decade, and there will be an argument as to whether that won't change the predictive capability of this market. But nonetheless, if we do in fact see an inverted yield curve, what it represents for the banking sector is that their borrow short to lend long is strategy isn't going to work any longer, and that will represent a headwind for banks and their credit creation capabilities, which does have a deleterious effect on the economy. So I think that is worth considering. This was also a relatively positive day on in the European stock markets. The FTSE 100 was pretty much unchanged, because not least because the pound was a little bit firmer. The European index was off its lows, and this continues to look like nothing more than a consolidation in the upper side of what has been a more than 2-year range already. I think perhaps the most important thing is that the Euro stocks has still got plenty of potential to rally back up towards its highs, whereas the Europe stocks, which includes all of Western Europe, not just the euro-denominated countries, is pausing around that 400 level. But that 400 level represents the upper side of a 17-year range, and if it can sustain a move above it, well, then we're back in bull market territory. And the number of indices globally that are either close to their highs or have made new highs before having some consolidation over the last few months is really very high. The number that are breaking down to new lows is comparatively small. You could, I think, really count them on one hand. And we're still in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and the potential for the US to pass tax reform and to lower corporate taxes and reignite economic growth will most particularly to provide a stimulus to ordinary people and their consumption. Well, that's good news for just about everywhere. So it isn't just Japan or Europe, but rather that emerging markets generally should be doing better. And the Brazil today was up over 2%, and having pulled back over the last 4 weeks, it is now beginning to find support in the region of this 70,000 area. So this is the first sign of it beginning to find support, having closed the majority of its overextension relative to the trend mean. This was somebody at the seminar today asked to see Cisco, and Cisco was breaking upwards today. It if we look at this on the long-term chart, we can see that it is, and that's not long enough because the base is so has persisted for so very long. This has been a very choppy uptrend from the lows back in 2011, but it is at a new high. And when we do look at that on a very long-term basis, this is in fact a new, almost 16-year high. And Cisco is migrating to services and software, and we're also facing into the next big infrastructure building when 5G is rolled out, and Cisco will be at the center of that as well. And this has been a choppy uptrend, but it is an uptrend nonetheless, and it has now got the prospect that it is completing its base formation. So there's a lot going on in the technology sector, and we're seeing shares that have been going sideways for an awfully long time completing base formations. Intel is another one of those, and has been rallying very impressively over the last few weeks. When we look at that on that long-term chart, then this is the it's a clear breakout from a first step above the base, and it does suggest that it isn't simply that we're getting this outperformance in the big FANG stocks, but that other companies that have been sitting on the sidelines for quite a long time are now beginning to attract attention. And the precious metals market remains quiet, and potentially not least because stock markets have been so very firm, and there just isn't the need for a safe haven asset at the present time. So gold wasn't able to hold its advance yesterday, and it was pretty inert in here today. But we also know that this range is not going to persist, that eventually gold is going to break up, out of that range, but it remains to be seen exactly in which direction that's likely to happen. Now, platinum has been putting in a lot of work down at the lower side of this range between 940 and about 910, but it is going to have to sustain a move above 950 if we're really going to confirm that it's back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think it is also worth just keeping an eye on what copper is doing, because it has been consolidating for much of the last 3 weeks, but it hasn't given up much of the earlier advance, and mostly what it is doing is unwinding its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. Meanwhile, Bitcoin, which has been storming ahead over the last few sessions, was up an additional $468 in here today, and it is now back testing its peak. And considering that it has found support above that $5,000 area, then the low that we saw on Monday represents the low for this move. And as long as that remains the case, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And considering that once it breaks out, and it has a history of sustaining upward breaks, then once it does in fact break out, the likelihood is that it has several hundred, if not several thousand dollars of upside potential, if the history is any guide. So the next upward leg could take it as high as 10,000 before it pulls back again. And of course, we know that the pullbacks, when they occur, are incredibly volatile. And when we look at the dollar index, I think people will be increasingly watching what's going to happen with the dollar, considering that the likelihood is that interest rates are going to rise, that the federal tax cuts are going to increase the deficit, and by introducing stimulus and very much pro-cyclical policies, then the potential for it to boost inflation is increasing. But the dollar index continues to unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and it's just about done it. And having pulled back, it is now beginning to find support once more. And if it can sustain a move back above the trend mean, Well, then that would at least begin to suggest that this is a failed downside break, but out of this 2-year range, and it would increase the potential that the index could go all the way back up and test that 100 level. And if the dollar does strengthen to that extent, then that would put the kibosh, or it would rather than using the colloquialisms, that if the dollar does rally that far, that is going to represent a headwind, particularly for the precious metals, and particularly and potentially also for commodities generally. And what I'll do in tomorrow's audio is give you at least a partial report of the conclusions that arose out of the chart seminar. But certainly today it was a very interesting group discussion, and what I found particularly interesting was the interest that we had in the technology sector and the number of technology shares that we looked at. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.